This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, even though if you're listening on Sirius XM 206 in your car, it might say Adam the Bull. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Coming up in an hour and 20 minutes, Ben Ryder, we talk baseball. We give the Major League Baseball 2019 preview coming up in just an hour. But right now, college basketball is going strong. And I got this stat. 14. How did this go, Tom? You need to say this. You told me this yesterday. Go. What is this now? Say it on air, Tom. Tell everybody. Tell America this.
So KenPom, our guest coming up right here, has an amazing rating system on his website, KenPom.com. And of his top 14 teams that he had ranked going into the tournament, he nailed 14 out of the 16 in the – I'm sorry, all 14 of those teams made the Sweet 16. All 14 of his top 14.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about accuracy, and this is better than weathermen. Let's bring him on. Ken Pomeroy joins us on the show, KenPom.com and The Athletic. Find him on Twitter, at Ken Pomeroy. Ken, how did you do this? How is this possible?
I don't think it was me so much as it was college basketball this year. Obviously, a lot of the favorites have won, so a little more predictable than it has been in past seasons.
Why has it been so much chalk? Some people complained about that. You know, it makes for a more accurate bracket, maybe. But why has it been that way?
Well, I think there's two things. Mainly, it's just kind of been one of those years. You know, normally you do have upsets, like it just happens. But I think the other thing is that the committee, you know, for maybe one of the first times in its history, seeded pretty closely to kind of the way the power ratings ranked the best teams. And so, you know, basically in every, you know, matchup, the higher seeded team has been the Vegas favorite. And it sounds like that's how it should be every year, but it's actually pretty unusual. So that helped as well.
Ken Pomeroy joining us on the show. Find him on Twitter at Ken Pomeroy. Also KenPom.com. People love the website. It's basically about, and you just heard, it's basically the most accurate thing you're going to find in college basketball. Auburn wins last night. They just boat raced North Carolina in the second half. What was the reason for this type of season from Auburn, and why are they able to get to the Elite Eight over a team like North Carolina that a lot of people had them winning the championship this year?
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's been, you know, obviously playing well of late, in particular shooting the three ball pretty well. You know, I mean, last night they were 17 of 37 from three. You know, they took more threes than twos, which isn't unusual for them. And, you know, and they can do that when they can, you know, force some turnovers. Carolina committed 14 turnovers. Auburn had eight steals. I mean, they can, you know, obviously getting some quick offense. Auburn isn't necessarily the type of team that plays super fast, you know, not like North Carolina, but when you force turnovers and we can get open looks from three, like, you know, they can be pretty lethal. And that's kind of been their recipe here in the tournament, certainly. And, you know, really all season to some extent. They started SEC play struggling, losing to some good teams, losing close games on the road. And now they're, you know, just finally making those plays late in games to win games.
LSU was able to keep it within a dime for the most part yesterday. They ended up losing by 17. Michigan State's a hell of a program. I ended up being a little bit proud of LSU because of the topsy-turvy ending to the season. Really wasn't the players' fault as much as it was the coach, obviously, even though it calls into question their own teammates there. Were you impressed by them being able to get over that distraction? Because some people had them even losing in the first round.
Yeah, they certainly were a popular upset pick to Yale there early on, and no question. I mean, you know, you can't, you know, the players sort of have to deal with the situation, and, you know, they really didn't ask for the controversy and obviously were able to, you know, pretty much rise above it. I mean, those, you know, those kind of distractions usually either fracture a team or they bring it closer together, and I think with LSU it was the latter, and, you know, got some inspired play from Tremont Waters during the tournament and Javonte Smart, and, you know, unfortunately ran into the buzzsaw that is Michigan State. But, yeah, overall, I think they can be pretty proud of their season.
Read your article this morning from last week about Tom Izzo. Tell people what you thought of the Tom Izzo thing with Aaron Henry.
Well, you know, it's just to me always interesting how, you know, those kind of confrontations are basically limited to college basketball and college football, or, you know, levels below that. And not, you know, you don't see them in other industries or even other sports necessarily. You know, you don't see stuff like that really in baseball or hockey or other sports. You know, I just kind of thought it's just odd how kind of people came to Izzo's defense. I realize he's built up a lot of trust over his career, and I'm no doubt that he has like the best interests of Aaron Henry in his mind. But, you know, the defense of Tom Izzo, I think, was a little simplistic, just saying that, hey, Aaron Henry liked it, or, you know, said it was okay. So, you know, give Izzo a pass. I mean, obviously Aaron Henry he would be, you know, the biggest idiot in the world to criticize Tom Izzo at this point in the season. And I don't think Aaron Henry is the biggest idiot in the world. So it's a complex situation, but I think one worth discussing and worth questioning. You know, why do we allow coaches to sort of, you know, treat players this way when we wouldn't really? If Tom Izzo was treated that way by his athletic director, obviously it would be a humongous story, and his athletic director would probably be fired. So it's an interesting story to discuss, I think.
Well, you know, that's the thing about it. Kent Pomeroy joining us on the show, because when he was answering the question, and then he said, well, people demand you guys to be good writers, I'm going, okay, but my program director doesn't run down the hallway and scream at me and needs to be held back. So I don't know if that's really the necessary analogy we want to go with. But my questioning of anything, I've had guys scream in my face when I was a player and back in the day and everything like that. What kind of concerned me, though, Ken, was that you've seen basketball at basically every level. It scares me that maybe, like, how we're afraid for kids to watch violence because we're afraid they'll act violent. It concerns me that a coach who just wants to, he thinks he's helping out the kids, but this isn't his profession, might see that and think something like that's okay, when really it's not, when you're not as understood as maybe Tom Izzo is, according to his players and his program.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that, like, again, Tom Izzo probably connects with his players on a different level, and he's able to get away with this in a way that his players don't take offense. You know, they're not emotionally harmed or whatever you want to put it. Like, maybe it's all fine. Like, you know, basketball's a different thing than being a newspaper writer, certainly from like an emotional standpoint. But you just still wonder, like, is, like, in almost every other industry, like, being trying to use positive motivation is more effective. It gets more effective results in general. And why is that not, like, why is that suddenly not true in college basketball? Like, it's when you think about it, it's kind of a weird thing.
Ken Pomeroy joining us on the show. Can Michigan State get past Duke tomorrow?
Sure, yeah. I mean, well, let's face it, Duke is not exactly rolling through the tournament here. You know, obviously was, an Aubrey Dawkins tipping away from losing outright to UCF. And then, you know, Ahmed Hill last night had a pretty easy, you know, put back himself, or lob, I guess, conversion, you know, late in the game to force overtime, which isn't the same as losing. But nonetheless, very tight game there. So, and then you got the Cam Reddish situation, which was kind of odd. You know, he just kind of, you know, has this kind of mysterious knee injury before the game against Virginia Tech and doesn't play. So, I don't think Duke's invincible by any means. You know, obviously Zion Williamson, if you have the close game down the stretch, you'd think that he's about the most reliable person in the country to pull that game out for you. But, you know, you might not have a close game down the stretch if things don't go your way. So, I do think Michigan has a great shot in that game.
Buzz Williams has done a tremendous job at Virginia Tech. He's 46. Vatek's finally getting it going the way they always wanted to with Seth Greenberg. Do you think, is there another step for him to go in college basketball? Should they be worried at all about the next step, or is he kind of he's 46, maybe he's a lifer at Vatek now?
Well, that is certainly the focus now of Virginia Tech fans, is whether, he has coached his last game there or not. You know, Texas A&M is the job he's rumored to, you know, be the top candidate for. And, you know, it certainly seems like a lateral move in the college basketball world. Obviously, Texas A&M does not have a lot of tradition. Virginia Tech does not have a lot of tradition either. This is their first Sweet 16 since 1967. So, you know, there's, you're not necessarily gaining much by going to Texas A&M if you're Buzz Williams, but he is from that area, and there is that kind of lure, and I don't know what motivates Buzz Williams, but he's going to get paid a lot going to Texas A&M, so if that is what motivates him, he, you know, he could very well be gone. I mean, the next step, obviously, would be, you know, you'd think a higher-level program, you know. Yeah. I mean, he's not in the running for UCLA, but, you know, that kind of level program would be the next step for him, but, you know, that's not apparently what's in play at this point for him.
How tough of a job, Ken Pomeroy joining us on the show, how tough of a job has Chris Beard have turning Texas Tech into the type of program that it is that we haven't really thought of in quite a long time?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll just put it to you this way. He's coached, I believe, 4 years now in Division I basketball, and you know, that first year was at Arkansas Little Rock, and he coached that team to its best season in program history. And in his 3 years at Texas Tech, he's coached, he's had two of the best, their top 2 years, basically, in program history in those three seasons. So, I mean, Chris Beard, if you don't think he's certainly, I think, in the discussion for best coach in the country. Like, I don't, you know, put up Coach K or Bill Self or whoever. Like, being at Texas Tech, you're not getting the talent that those two guys get, and yet he finds kind of gems and puts together, you know, legitimately great basketball teams. And, you know, he's obviously one step from the Final Four. We'll see what happens today. But if he does get to the Final Four today, obviously he'll get all due recognition. But it's really overdue because his track record so far has been amazing.
I mean, I look at your ratings and I look at your website, and there's something I understand that I'll never be able to think the way you do. And it's really, it blows me away. How wrong am I then, considering how you're very analytical, the way you think, the way you go about your business, how wrong am I then to hope that Purdue wins over Virginia simply because Matt Painter seems to be a good guy who's willing to come on my show when I ask him to? I'm sorry.
I mean, Tony Bennett's a good guy too, but apparently he's not necessarily, you know, the most media savvy, I guess you could say. But,
I'm sorry, I had to ask. Like, that's probably an insult to you, but I'm like, hey, Matt Painter's come on the show a couple of times. Seems to be a nice guy. I don't know, I probably sound like Tommy Boy right there, but what the hell? Maybe I want Purdue to win it all now. Is that the dumbest thing you've been asked today? Ken, go ahead, tell me.
No, it's not. I don't think it's dumb at all. I mean, look, when people ask me about my brackets, I tell them, hey, I think Duke's the best team, and they're probably the smart pick to win it all, but I physically can't actually write Duke on that line to win it all because I just – in my DNA, I'm not going to have anything, you know, in front of me that forces me to root for Duke to win a national title. So, you know, I can say some dumb things too.
Is it weird though that that Zion Williamson has made Duke cool in 2019?
Has he made them cool? I don't know. I mean,
Ken, I think so. Okay, you're not a Duke fan, I take it, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily a Duke hater at this point in my life, but I really don't hate any teams. But, yeah, I'm not a Duke fan, but I love watching Zion Williamson. I'll admit that. Like, I can acknowledge the dude's a, you know, once-in-a-generation athletic freak who, you know, has tremendous basketball skill to go with it.
Like, let me tell you this. I went down, my wife, this is years ago here, when I just started in radio and everything, and I went to pick up my wife in Raleigh, North Carolina. She had a conference, and then we were going to go down to Florida. I had a little bit of time, and I was like, oh, my God, we're not that far away from Duke. I want to go see Cameron Indoor Stadium. And I drove there, and they all looked at me like, you ever get a feeling like you don't belong in a place? Like, I walked into a country club, and they all knew that I did not belong there. I've never felt so inhospitable in all my life. And before that, I didn't like Duke. After that, I really didn't like Duke. And it seemed like every other college basketball program was for the rest of us. And then I see Zion Williamson playing for Duke, and everybody likes Duke. And before, Duke would be a good team, but you still hated Duke. And I just don't see that this year because of Zion Williamson.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope our country isn't going in that direction. I mean, point where we embrace Duke is oh man, it's getting ugly. But they're fun to watch. I mean, I will admit on some level they are fun to watch. But I just can't go that far to say that, you know, I like Duke or you know, want to see them win a national title. I mean, they've been the best basketball program for the last 25 years. So do they need another national title? I mean, really?
I hope our country isn't going in that direction. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com and The Athletic. So who did you have winning it all?
So I went with Gonzaga just because, you know, I like – just like you, you know, just like you with Purdue. I like to pick teams that I would feel good about winning it, and so I feel like Gonzaga, either Gonzaga or Virginia would probably be the best stories. Virginia coming back from, you know, losing to a 16 seed and even trailing a 16 seed this year and winning a national title would be amazing. And, you know, Gonzaga always gets all the haters about how they, you know, play in a weak conference and whatever, and they aren't deserving or anything like that. And it would be kind of cool to see them shut those people up.
Well, they've been good since we were kids. I mean, let's be honest about this. So now you really believe Gonzaga can win it? Or, again, did you do it just because you didn't want to pick Duke?
Well, yeah, if I had to, you know, bet large sums of money on it, I would have been, you know, forced to pick Duke. But Gonzaga is not a bad choice. You know, they certainly are capable of winning it. Obviously, they've beaten Duke already, so we know they can do that. So, yeah, I mean, I think Gonzaga is a legit choice and certainly possible for them to win it.
Ken, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know this is your busy time of year, and I mean this sincerely. Your website, your knowledge of college basketball, everything you put here on here, it's brilliance. And I hope you don't think I'm just kissing your ass. I'm serious about this. You're brilliant at what you do. Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, friend.
All right. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
Ken Pomeroy joining us on the show. KenPom.com. I gave him a little bit of a congratulations there at the end. Actually, I gave him a lot of congratulations at the end. He's a very humble man. Billy Jack, did you pick that up?
I did.
He's a very humble person. Like, you look at this website, he's got luck efficiency in here. He's got three different ways to strengthen schedule with the opponent's offense and defense, adjustments that are made here. I mean, this is incredible stuff. I mean, just incredible stuff. Check out his website, KenPom.com. I mean, he's the cat's ass when it comes to college basketball. 855-212-4CBS. We'll hold off five burning questions. We'll do it at 1240. You hear me there, Tom? We'll do it at 1240. We'll welcome in Billy Jack officially, as we tend to do. And Zion Williamson, the next LeBron James. And he's made Duke cool. Let me explain it when we come back. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, it's noon. It's time to welcome in Billy Jack. Hello, Billy Jack.
Hello, Ken. What's going on, bro?
Do you have it ready for him, Tom? Let's hit it again. I'm not going to say anything until we play it.
I don't have it ready.
You better grab it. How did you not have it ready for Billy Jack? I love you, Billy Jack.
Made him that custom rejoin. I didn't realize we were going to go the way back down the rabbit hole.
Well, you know what? I kind of want to do it because it's just so good. You wait until we get the Seth Rich clips. We'll start getting calls about that. Then you think we're going to talk sports ever again? Forget about it. It's going to be coast-to-coast AM in the middle of the day. That's the way things are going to work from here on out. Now, you don't got to get it. It's fine. Billy Jack with us on the show. Hello, Billy Jack. How are you?
I'm moving.
Yeah, you are. Sounds like it, huh?
I'm moving, Ken. I'm moving. I'm trying. I'm trying to do what I got to do here.
Did you find love between this week and last week?
Nah.
You understand I'm going to ask you that question every week until you find yourself a date. You know that,
well,
right?
It'll be motivation for me. I think me and a couple of my high school buddies are doing something tonight. So,
all right.
So let's see what we got going on here.
Yeah. A couple of high school buddies. Yeah. There it is.
Yes,
get the sausage out going. There you go. Well done, Billy.
That's completely irrelevant of saying that. Nothing happened yet.
What? Well, I know, but I'm encouraging you.
Okay.
You don't just sit there before a football game going, well, you know, the Jets didn't do anything.
Well, you don't
yet,
say,
so
no,
I don't
but
even know.
Hang on, though, but you don't say, well done. You say, go get them.
You're at where you're at, you go get them. By the way, I want to say hello to Billy Jack. I want to say hello to my other buddy, Doug Plagans, voice of the Florida Panthers. He's getting ready to go on air in Boston. Former Cleveland guy, former Lake Erie Monsters play-by-play guy. You want to talk about a road to play-by-play. The Lake Erie / Cleveland Monsters. Holy Toledo. You got Doug Plagans, who's in the NHL, and Tony Brunt, both. You want to talk about the cat's ass? Both the cat's ass. We have three guys right there. Cat's ass. Doug Plagans, cat's ass. Tony Brown, cat's ass at play-by-play. Both those guys, fantastic. And then Ken Pomeroy, who we just had on, the cat's ass. Which some people, Justice says, Ken, enjoyed your interview with Ken Pomeroy, but Duke is never cool. I got to tell you, and you know I'm not a Duke guy, and that does stem from my upbringing. Me and Duke, the essence of Duke, the better-than-you mentality, I come from but simple folk. It doesn't jive. It doesn't go well together. And then the time I visited there, which I said that on air very quickly, I went there and I thought I was going to go see Cameron Indoor Stadium, and they basically gave me this look like, you can go try this with the Dean Dome. Go down the street, and you can have all the fun you want. We don't do that here. Get back in your bleep box and get off our campus. That's the way I was treated at Duke University. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. I'm not sorry. And I think a lot of people feel that if they went to Duke, that'd probably be the way that, not as students, but I mean as outsiders, that's the way they'd be treated. It's very country club. It's very better than you. It's a private university, correct? Isn't it, Tom? Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a private place. So for the rest of us who are big state school folks who, you know, might have been from the blue collar section of town, we don't like Duke. But Zion Williamson's fun. Zion Williamson's cool. He's good with the media. He's good on social media. You already know he's got a Nike contract waiting for him. I will bring this up at the end of the show. We have found our next LeBron James because the media will create him, and we are creating him right now. We put Zion Williamson at the top of the heap. If Zion Williamson didn't go to Duke, if he went anywhere else, I don't know if we'd follow him the way that we do. RJ Barrett would be a big story. Cam Reddish would be a bigger story. It would still be Duke basketball. We'd still hate Duke basketball. Zion Williamson is a likable young man. We are using him, and wrongly, by the way, we are using him as a reason to pay players, even though Zion Williamson went to Duke for a reason when he could have went to Europe and he could have went to China and he could have made money right now, but he had went to Duke for a reason. Name recognition, branding, he already have a Nike contract. It made him the absolute number one pick, even though a lot of people who had watched Zion Williamson highlights have said, yeah, if he would have played at Clemson, if he would have played at Wofford, if he would have played anywhere else, he probably would have still been a number one pick. He's absolutely, by far, the number one pick. And I don't care about anything with the game. People say, well, he can't go with his right or he can't go with his left. He can't do any of those other things. And I still say, yeah, but if you let James Dolan or Dan Gilbert, whoever owns the Phoenix Suns, if you let them get involved at all, which they will be because he's the number one pick, they're going to take Zion Williamson. Because on opening night, and probably for a long time to come, you're going to have sellouts to see Zion Williamson. You're not going to sell the place out on opening night to see RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish or Ja Morant. You will sell out numerous times over to see Zion Williamson. You'll have a media circus around you to see Zion Williamson. And because he's doing this now, we are creating this now. We have made him a likable person. He is a likable person. He's handled it well. He will eventually come into his own as a good man, young man. If he's able to develop the game the way the people think he can develop the game, the NBA, the world shall be his oyster. There's a lot of great players out there. Don't look at stats alone. It's the entire thing that comes together. I was going to do a thing on Gronk today. Gronk's the greatest tight end ever, and it's not because of stats. Gronk's the greatest tight end ever and a Hall of Famer, not just because of the stats. It's for the same reason that Joe Namath is a Hall of Famer. Joe Namath is Broadway. Joe Namath is a way of life. Joe Namath is cool. Joe Namath is somebody who we wanted to be and emulate when we were kids, who was the personification of a professional football player in New York, New York. And I can name Ozzie Newsome, Kellen Winslow, Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, Jason Witten, John Mackey. Those guys were great tight ends. Hall of Fame, wonderful tight ends. The best in the business. Mike Ditka gets brought up. Mike Ditka gets brought up because of the brand Ditka. Rob Gronkowski gets brought up. Rob Gronkowski has a brand. Happy-go-lucky, fun. It's the bro version of Joe Namath. And he's better at what he does than what Joe Namath did. 855-212-4CBS. If Zion's anywhere close, he's the next LeBron. Coming up next, five burning questions and beware, Ty. Beware, Doc. Beware. The siren song of LeBron James.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Feel the heat. It's time for five burning questions. Tom, let it rip.
What's happening, Ken? We're going to start with your favorite guy, LeBron James, who's in headlines again this morning.
Fabulous.
What morning isn't he in headlines, but he is back in them this morning for... Yeah. Supposedly expressing exasperation at the state of the Lakers roster this year. At least that's how it's going out in the headlines. The reality of this exchange is it was an interview with ESPN's Dave McMenamin centered around the concept of the roster this season. So the idea is the Lakers decided to build around a supporting cast of playmakers rather than elite shooters like LeBron usually prefers. And LeBron's response to that experiment was to make this sound. So that is a little bit closer to what the actual context of that report actually is.
Yeah.
But anyway, the burning question is the anti-LeBron sentiment right now getting to the point of being overboard or still in the area of deserved?
As far as what you mean, the criticism of him, is that what you're saying?
Yes,
or
the daily kind of onslaught.
Oh no! You're a bigger fish. That means that people are trying to catch you, and when you're the big one in the pond, that means that everybody's coming after you. This is what he has to deal with. This is what you are when you're an icon, and this is what you are when you lose track of what made you famous. What made you the icon of what you are? LeBron has done some important things in general in life, not just in basketball. But you're still a basketball player. And when people have you, they expect greatness. And where LeBron got mixed up, and I brought this up last week when I said that he's basically went from the goat to the grandma who lives in the house, where it's become something of a tremendous bother that everything you do in your life, you have to do to take care of Ma. Some people actually got upset with that because, I'm sorry, they're probably taking care of their Ma's and they probably should be in homes. But for LeBron, he went to L.A., the Lakers were just a part of it. You never do that. The Lakers are the Lakers, and in the NBA, they're bigger than LeBron. Just like the Yankees are the Yankees, and in Major League Baseball, they're bigger than whoever plays. They're bigger than Jeter. They're bigger than Alex Rodriguez. They're bigger than all of them because of who came before you and made those franchises those franchises. You don't go to New York to go to New York and just be with the Yankees. That's what the Mets are for. You don't go to LA and just be with the Lakers. That's what the Clippers are for. You go to those franchises. You're a part of those franchises' fabric. You're the next great one in line. He lost focus of that. So he deserves every single bit of criticism that comes his way. And when he's making that type of noise, boy, you can tell the ship has certainly sailed on the rest of that group with him, hasn't it? Next.
According to the NFL's chief medical officer, the league saw, quote, clearly fewer injuries among starting QBs in 2018 and saw 16 week one starters make it to week 17, which was four more than made it to the end of the season in 2017. So do you think there was a rush to judgment by the public on the league's efforts to protect quarterbacks this year?
As far as what, they thought it was too soft?
Yeah, I mean, it got absolutely ridiculed to the point where the league actually, without even changing the rule, just kind of told the rest
stars
to
are
back
stars.
Off. Yeah.
Stars are stars. I don't know what else to tell you. Guy, you get special treatment. It's the entire crux of what I argue with Sean Payton. If Brian Flores tries to do that next year, he's going to get laughed out of the building. If really a lot of coaches try to do that, they get laughed at. Sean Payton's been in the league for, what, over a decade now as a head coach? Definitely. And it's been a successful one. Sean Payton can go and get what he wants. That's what the league is. That's what pro sports is. They protect stars. And no matter what we want to say about Tom Brady, Tom Brady's a star. He needs to be protected. Like Patrick Mahomes. We're going to do this over Patrick Mahomes someday. Patrick Mahomes is a star. He needs to be protected. He means money. So we can complain and moan all we want. That's why certain basketball players get calls and certain ones don't. That's why certain hitters get a nice strike zone that they like and others don't. We need to protect stars. Next.
There was some minor controversy on opening day in Philadelphia as a smattering of boos was heard after Bryce Harper's fifth-inning strikeout, his second of the game, with the Phillies up by two runs, by the way. The superstar outfielder signed a 13-year deal, of course, this offseason, that has him under contract for the next 2,106 Phillies games. On the flip side, many defensive Philadelphia fans feel there weren't enough boos to warrant national headlines. What's your reaction to all this, Ken?
Oh, you boo the guy on his first day, you're going to get national headlines. It's Philly. It's Philly fan. It's shooting fish in a barrel. Play it up. It's what you're famous for, right? Am I really going to fault a Phillies fan for holding a guy to a high standard? That's a good thing. You're a fan. You demand success. You demand excellence. You demand excellence out of a $330 million contract. Stand up for yourself. Say that he deserves it. You strike out, you're going to get booed. It's the way it works. Be a strong fan base. You don't want to be any one of the softies out there. At least you're there watching them. I'm fine with it. As long as you leave it to booze. I don't know if we want to go to Russell Westbrook or DeMarcus Cousins areas or anything like that. I think that's way too bad. But if we're talking about booing guys, hey, they're pros. He's got $330 million before taxes. He can handle it. If you think he needs to be booed, boo him. Go.
Do you think it speaks to the decline of baseball a little bit? Now, people have every right to boo, but it just feels like the sports fan today is such a instant gratification type of fan. It's the kind of thing I show up to the game and I expect something. I watch an at-bat and I expect something, so I'm going to have this reaction that I've been somehow wronged.
Maybe a little bit.
Better. You know, baseball is just not a game like that. You're watching opening day. Bryce Harper's going to strike out 160 times. He's going to hit 40, hopefully, home runs.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to bat around 290, and they're going to be good days and bad days. That is the fundamental fabric of the game.
This is part of the difference, though, between regular baseball fans and the hardcore baseball fan. The guy who watches every single game and is in a bunch of fantasy leagues and is a baseball guy, we're starting to see that diminish, and we're starting to find that niche for those fans. But if you get a star like Bryce Harper, that means a lot of people are going to be there. And I saw the video, I think Deadspin put it up, and I think the Big Lead put it up, of the guy, and I forget his name. He did a wonderful job. He was a local reporter, and he was doing a stand-up, and all those Phillies fans were walking by him, and the one guy put the hat on his head, and he did a fantastic job. I wish you could say his name and give him credit, because he was great. You got a lot of people there on opening day. They've had a couple of beers. They're there because it's opening day. You're a Philly fan. If you demand excellence, fine, go ahead and do it. A hardcore baseball fan is going to think that's silly, and they're probably going to be right. I want to tell you this. I was watching Ken Burns baseball while I was watching the tournament games yesterday, while I was working on the show. And this will be the fourth time I've went all the way through Ken Burns baseball. But it was funny because in the early parts of it, there is a person who's from England, and he talks about why America doesn't like cricket. And he compares it with baseball, and he calls baseball more fast-paced. Americans demand fast-paced sports. Right. And it's amazing that, yes, at the turn of the century in the 1900s, it was called fast-paced sports. And here we are now. But that's the way things go. I just thought it was an interesting tidbit. And I also wanted to brag that I watch Ken Burns baseball. Next!
You achieved that. So Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have supposedly become the best of friends over the course of the season, according to Brian Windhorst, and they now talk or text on a daily basis. How likely do you think it is, Ken, that the two team up this offseason, and how much of their relationship is based in pure spite for LeBron?
I don't want to answer that because it's going to go against what I want to say next, so I got to plead the fifth. Next!
That's it? You pled the fifth to a burning question? Is that even in the rules?
But it's part of what I wanted to talk about next.
That's against show fabric. Okay,
okay, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Nope. It's five burning questions. It's not wait till Ken's ready to talk. Do it again. Okay. I'll give you an answer.
How likely do you think it is that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving team up this offseason, and how much of their newfound love is based in pure spite for LeBron?
It's not in spite. It's not in spite of LeBron. It's that they want to be weird and probably be weird together. And if the Knicks get the number one overall pick, they want to be weird together with Zion Williamson. There you go. There's your answer. Next.
They're not winning the draft lottery, but I agree with the rest of that. This next one...
You think fans are going to be excited if Cleveland wins the lottery again?
No. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, maybe... Maybe the fix is already in. It's hard for me to believe it as a Knicks fan, but maybe.
We had our generational superstar, and I'd love to have Zion Williamson, but no, it's not going to be that easy. Next.
All right, the last one is in the same vein of weird and involves your home state. And the Colgate Raiders men's basketball team were a 15 seed after winning the Patriot League. I think it was their first automatic bid since, like, 1996, which is a big deal, obviously, for them. And they made a weird move, though. For some reason, they didn't bring their pep band, and they instead hired Ohio State students to play their pep band's music at the tournament. So what is your reaction to that move?
You are outsourcing jobs for your pep band? Is this what you're doing, Colgate? That is terrible. How often do you make the NCAA tournament? I wish I would have known about this.
First time in 23 years. And we know the Ohio State band is legendary. We get it. They have good musicians at Ohio State, but that's not really the point, is it?
What a cheap-ass BS move by Colgate. And I mean that sincerely. What are you, cutting corners?
They were performing the songs using sheet music, wearing blank maroon shirts.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
So, do they have a pep band at Colgate?
Yeah,
I assume
they do,
so.
And they're upset. In fact, I think
I would be too.
I got to read more about this, but I think
was this a cost-cutting measure?
May have even been.
Deny kids the opportunity. Remember, it's supposed to be student athletes. Well, it's supposed to be student everybody. I'm not going to get to my LeBron point. I'll probably bring it up at 140. Trust me, it's a great point. That's why I'm putting it off for an hour. You can't do this to your kids. Okay, was this a cost-cutting move? What was the reasoning?
I can't imagine it was cost cutting.
If it was cost cutting, it's
hired 29 Ohio State students.
What did they give them? What did they give the students? They quote they hired them. Hiring meaning there was a payment.
Evidently, yeah, exactly. Evidently, I need to investigate this.
You paid them
a lot.
You paid the kids, so the students see. This is what you do. I can't believe the band got paid and the players don't. This is ridiculous. That's what you're supposed to do.
Uh-huh. So Colgate previously hired an outside band to perform during the women's hockey team's trip to the NCAA tournaments last year. However, that took place during a school break.
You got to
be kidding
me.
So the school wasn't in session. That was their excuse then.
I mean, I'd want out of school. This is history here. This is the first time in 23 years.
And according to Colgate, the Colgate pep band was deemed too small to travel to the tournament.
Oh, that's asinine. That's asinine.
And they also questioned the commitment of the band.
Come on. That's the biggest line of BS I've ever heard in my entire freaking life. And you try to say that the band's too small. That's the whole point. You're freaking Colgate. Okay? Go look at their stadium. Seriously, go to Google Maps. Look at their stadium. You're Colgate. You're not a big school. This isn't Oklahoma State in the tournament. Well, we have a bit of a small pep band, so we decided to do that. Well, then you can question the commitment. You're freaking Colgate. How about this? I'll go get a gun, I'll cock it, I'll put it to your head, and you can tell me where Colgate is on a map, because you can't do it. That's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, is small schools with small communities send people who are big-time ardent fans of those schools, because this is the final year at the big time, and obviously for the first time in 23 years, it doesn't happen every day. So you make fun that, yeah, you got six people in the pep band, but they're there and they're loud and they're proud and they're excited for Raider basketball. What a BS garbage move by Colgate, and I mean that sincerely. Coming up next, the MLB preview. And in 20 minutes, Ben Ryder. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.